Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the last episode of Beyond the Bench, where we bring a wide variety of guests from the game and explore the stories they must tell. From realities of academy football to mental health struggles, diversity and women's representation in sport, Beyond the Bench is all about going beyond the surface. Ladies and gentlemen, firstly, we're going to start today's episode with our morning dilemmas. We're going to start with you, Carlos. How's your morning been?
It's been okay, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, it's been pretty well. Not too bad. Started the day, bus stopped at pretty much every traffic light it possibly could. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth. Logan, what about you?
Not today. I had a coffee, and then I came here, and then I rang my sister. I sat with Jermaine for an hour.
Jermaine, how about you?
For me, no morning dilemmas. By the grace of God, everything went well this morning.
Very good. And our guest today, Glory, how about you? What's anything gone wrong this morning for you?
Not really, just tired. Just had a long shift today, so yeah.
Shift enough. Where?
I was working as a cleaner, like in a construction site in Nottingham, so I had to travel. And yeah, it was just long.
Oh, a long morning then, yeah. A long morning. Right, well, let's get started then with your career. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and like how you sort of came up into football?
I played football in Italy, that's where I started. Started probably like 6 years old. I used to play for grassroots team, but now they're like semi-pro. Played there till I was like 10, 11. Then I moved to London and played for a team called Eurodagonum for a year-ish. Then I moved to Nottingham, where I spent most of my time here in the UK. Played for Portsmouth Green, or people call it PMG there. And then, I started going uni here and played for Caribbean FC. And then now I'm playing for another team, like a Sunday league team called AMFC. Some bits that missed out, that I was on trial for Sheffield United for a bit, been on lots of trials. Then by the grace, I got Notts County for a bit when I was 18, and then I got released a couple of months later.
What was that like? Talk me through the process of, obviously, so you sort of get there, obviously it must all of a sudden at first glance seem like a dream setup, it's all going really well. How does it feel when all of a sudden it doesn't go the way you want it to go?
I can't lie, it's heartbreaking still. Especially when you're young, and that's your first team that you play for, a proper team where things are going your way. It's a little bit of a heartbreak, but if you don't have that, then you're not going to grow as a person, you know what I mean? So I feel like it was probably necessary. As much as I hate to say, it was kind of necessary, because now it makes you see life in a different way, you know.
Does obviously moving around a lot, like you've said, you've mentioned a couple of locations there. Does it ever get a little bit overwhelming or a little bit isolating? Obviously you're trying to make friends in those places, and all of a sudden you make this group of friends, then you have to leave them. Does it ever feel slightly lonely wherever you go to?
Good question, actually. At times, yeah. I mean, not as much now, but when I first moved countries, it was very hard, I won't lie to you. My whole life has been there in Italy, playing football, enjoying life there. All of a sudden, I got told by my parents, you have a week to move your stuff, go into England. So, yeah, it's kind of it's kind of peak, but I just got used to it ever since, to be fair, so. Yeah.
Would you say adapting to a new country, first of all, football was a way of speaking a language that you could express yourself with at first?
Yeah, actually, because I knew that everyone in England loved football, so that's something that obviously helped me make lots of friends, to be fair, and get to know a lot of people, make connections and whatnot, so yeah.
Look at it obviously when you go to football is obviously associated with being very confident, lots of big personalities out there. Have you ever felt when you've gone into a new camp or a new club and you've sort of had to put on a front and sort of not be yourself in terms of like having to be perhaps more confident than you're feeling?
Yeah, because when I was at Notts County, I've said this story much, but when I was at Notts County, like the first training session, it was good. And then when it came to that, the actual match, they made it seem like my life was on the line, if you know what I mean. So I had to act a little bit differently than I usually would. And then I just ended up bottling it. So, yeah, it's just like, wow.
So, Glory, your time at Notts County, obviously you said it was a couple of months. During those couple of months, did you have that belief in yourself that, like, now that I've made it to an academy, that I can make it pro?
No, actually, because it was one of those where you still had to fight for a spot. It was just that you went to a more developed club at that point. So it was like there was a lot of like players that joined with me as well. So like it was always like roll on and roll off in terms of like games and like who starts. And
did you see this competition as motivation or was it stress?
A little bit of both. Obviously, at the time I was young, so I didn't understand the game like I do now. At the time, it was like more stressful because obviously I knew some of them were my friends, innit? And like it was just like, how can I explain it? Like really, like it just felt horrid playing against them. I don't know why at the time, but at the same time, like it motivated me to do better as well. Because obviously they are there playing their football with all their hearts and like. With all they got, and like it motivated me to do my best as well. So it was truly a blessing, to be fair.
Would you say that these teammates of yours, you see them more as competitors than friends? Because obviously you might have been playing, I don't know, centre midfield, and you've got another player that plays centre midfield. Was it competition? Did you ever look at them like you're my rival, or was it just?
Oh yeah, I had a couple of like teammates. I was very flexible as a obviously I play centre back, but I'm also flexible like playing right back, left back, you know, like wing back as well. So there were a couple of players playing in like especially right back. There was like at least other two players playing there, and obviously when I wasn't starting, which to be fair in that squad I should have been starting, but when I wasn't starting, yeah, it was kind of like. I could definitely get this guy's position, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, there was a lot of competition there.
What?
When you weren't starting, did it have an impact on your mental well-being?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And that was probably what let me down the most, to be fair, and like got me released, if I have to be honest, because I was just thinking about what can I do to get this guy's position? And like, I was just overthinking it too much and like, the pressure got onto me to the point like training sessions I would just get frustrated and like just basically lashed out and like yeah it was really tough mentally, but it's something that I've learned from and like something I'm still trying to improve on as a player as well. So yeah,
what did you do off the pitch in terms of like, so when you're away and you're not necessarily playing every week and you're not starting, what obviously you say it affected you mentally. What did you do to try and rectify that in terms of like, were you training at home a lot? Were you sort of like, was there mental things you were doing to try and keep yourself interested? Was there ever a point where you weren't interested?
I think when I got released, yeah, it was probably the moment where I was like, I can't be asked to play football anymore. But during that time, during those months I was there, like the things I used to do was probably pray. Obviously, I'm a strong believer in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
In your faith and like your Christianity.
Yeah.
Do you feel like right now, the way your Christianity is, it would have helped you when you were still playing football for Notts County?
1,000,000%, yeah. Obviously, during that time there, I was still like a strong believer, but I don't think I understood how to use that to my advantage in terms of like my mental state, if you know what I mean. Like I used to pray to him, don't get me wrong, but I didn't like understand the importance of like my quiet time, like the importance of actually being consistent and going to church when things weren't going my way. I just used to like blindly just pray to him to make things happen to me for me, and like it never happened. And as I grew up and like started playing for different teams. So I kind of understood why it didn't work. So just having that knowledge now really helps me now. And like, it would have been a blessing if I had that knowledge back then.
What first would you say is helping you right now? What first is getting you through any challenges?
Isaiah 60:22, at the right time,
by the Lord will make it happen.
Yeah, that is for me like one of the best verses I'll like keep for the rest of my life.
No, which verse is this? I might have to put this in my notes.
Isaiah 60:22. But yeah, that verse made me understand the importance of just like being patient when things don't go your way, and even when things do go your way and you're trying to get some more like blessings from him. So,
and you talk about patience, do you have your Bible on you?
Yeah,
go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 please.
Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, go on. Yeah,
So it says the fruits of the spirits are kindness, lovingness, gentleness and patience, along with other things. I can't remember all from the top of my head, but
moving over to the diversity side of things. Obviously, you said you grew up in Italy. You're originally from Ghana.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Notts County, would you say that it was diverse in terms of players from different countries?
I'd be lying if I said yes, but like there was a lot of like English players. There was a lot of players from like different like backgrounds, like. Because the people that came in with me, most of them are like from like the ghetto and like low income houses in it. And then the people who were already there at the time were like basically middle class and like higher up class in it in terms of like financially. Yeah, so.
Do you think that plays a part in football in general?
Tough question, to be fair, because it depends on like obviously the club itself and like how it's run, because some clubs rely on financially like stable like parents. So if you have two parents and like you have a stable like family, then it's calm. But in some clubs I know where like if you don't have that, or if you're not able to drive to games and like things like that, it can
give you a helping hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Did it ever feel at any point where you weren't necessarily, it just felt like it wasn't going to happen for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, even, like, this was, like, probably last year, I was even, like, thinking of, like, should I even carry on taking ball seriously? Because, obviously, I'm getting to third year at that point, and, like, it's, like, I'm going to be 21, like, 20 soon. Like, what do I do from here? But obviously, I turn to my Bible and speak to God, and obviously speak to my parents, and like especially my brother, because me and my brother are really close, and like he just like gives me his opinion on the situation as well, because he's older than me and he hasn't played as much ball as me, but I'd rather like hear his input as well to make my final decision. So that's what made me, to be fair, want to even keep playing football a little bit more than that, and like make me believe that there is still a chance.
Do you feel like, did you sort of lose your enjoyment whilst the playing for these trials and sort of striving to become a professional? And do you think now that you've left, that you've had more enjoyment playing football? For instance, you play for the Hallam Frees and stuff like this?
Yeah, to be fair, it was really tough. Like, it was really tough mentally when I was like playing for Notts County, because there's so much pressure on you in terms of like, they want you to get this right. If you don't get it right, you're off. Next one, whoever does it better gets the spot, literally. But now that I'm playing like Hallam football, like the pressure's not there anymore. Like I've probably bottled it. I think I've told quite a few people, but I've bottled it when it really mattered for Notts County, you know. And like that actually helped me, like, you know what I mean, perform for a team that there's not much pressure on me, and like even like when it mattered, I still was able to pull through for them, and like make me, and like it helped me be like more consistent in my game now. So
we've talked about Notts County quite a lot.
Yeah.
At the start, you briefly mentioned you've done trials, including Sheffield United.
Mm.
What are they like? What wouldn't we know about trials? Because obviously you've experienced it. We've never played at that level. What wouldn't we know about these trials?
The mental impact it can have after you've done it. Because especially when you play bad, it's one of those where like it can impact even like after when you go to your club, you know. Some of the stuff that I've seen people do after like trials and like the dip in performances after trials is really daunting, and like it's really sad to see, because I've been there. I've been in a lot of trials.
Yeah.
You know. Like I was fortunate that I even got those opportunities, but it's just really tough, to be fair, mentally. And also apart from that, it's one of those like when you do a mistake, they'll take note already.
Yeah.
As well.
Like, and can you see them taking note?
At times, yeah. Sometimes they don't really need like a notebook. Sometimes they'll just look at you and like give you that like a sigh. Yeah. Like, get me? Like,
yeah.
Be like, bro. Like.
Oh, do this? They? Oh, are they like in groups? These coaches and
no.
Or it's just one guy.
No, it's just one guy. To be fair, it's really hard to even spot them nowadays.
Yeah.
Because they will make it. They'll basically disguise themselves as like people just watching, innit. So they won't even wear the academy like coats or anything like that. Those would wear like a normal like dress, innit. So
obviously it was a young level, but moving from Italy over to here, could you tell the difference in the way football was played straight away, or?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Like in Italy, is like it's hard to explain. Like obviously in Italy, it's physical, but
more
it's
technical.
Not. Yeah, but there's more. It's more about technique and like your awareness of the pitch. Whereas here, it's just like brute. If you got brute strength, like you can definitely go far. And like a bonus would be like obviously have the technique, like the IQ, and like
How quickly did you get homesick when you moved over to England?
Repeat that again.
How quickly did you get homesick when you moved over to England?
Don't even know. If I have to be honest, I don't even know.
Remind us how old you were again.
Oh, I was 11 when
I was 11 when you moved here.
Yeah.
So, what was it like trying to play football with these other 11-year-olds or other kids when you can't speak the language? Could you speak English?
Yeah, but English was okay, but it was like foreign English.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like obviously my parents taught me English, and like obviously my primary school there taught me English, but it wasn't enough to match, if you know what I mean. Like there's certain sentences I was just struggled to say, and I was made fun of, which to be fair helped me. Yeah. But to be honest, but it just let me know that I had to focus a lot on my English, didn't it?
What about playing football? Did that make people, I don't know, respect you more? Because they're like, oh, wow, this kid can actually play even though he wasn't
playing. To be fair, it was one of those, like, obviously they knew I couldn't speak English, but I spoke with football.
You spoke on the pitch.
Was it like that, like, being at high school and, like...
Yeah. It's like
playing football.
Yeah, like, even my primary school, like, I was made fun of, I couldn't speak English, and, like, they really thought that, it's just another guy that... You know what I mean? Like, he just comes here and, like, he's not that good. Like, so I had to show them on the pitch and probably got their respect. I don't know about now, but at the time I felt like I got their respect.
Jumping back to academy football quickly, what would you sort of say your best and worst experience was across the trials, across your experiences?
Some of my best moments was probably getting man of the match. And not man of the match, but I performed really well in my first session with them, like at Notts County, where people started to like me. To be fair, my worst moment was probably like a couple of days after, where I played FA Youth Cup against probably the best team in Leicester and just bottled it in front of like, I don't know how many people there were, but at least one side of the stadium was filled. That's a lot.
Wow.
Was that the biggest crowd you played in front of?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I can assume that just obviously adds
it,
pressure.
Yeah, it added, like, as soon as that the first mistake happened, the second one happened, yeah, then it just got bad. And to be fair, I was lucky that halftime was a thing. Cause if it was just one game, one half, and play like that, I don't think I would have made it mentally.
What would you say is next for you then? Obviously, you're at university now. Are you still wanting to try it and go far, or what's the plan now?
I mean, I would say so. I would say, but to be fair, right now it's one of those where I'm just struggling to find a club. It's just really difficult nowadays. Like, you have to have like a, what is it called? You have to like game your games recorded and like whatnot.
Have the material and the contacts.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
and even that is just quite expensive to get and like, you know, so.
Would you say football is a universal language where when you came over to Italy and when you came over from Italy and you started training in England, was the training the same or was it like so vastly different that you knew stuff that these other kids didn't know?
Good question. Football, the way I see it, is definitely universal. Like, I could probably play football in Germany with some kids and we'll be friends the next day, you know what I mean? So, football, like, it's like a sacred language of sport, if you know what I mean. Like, it helps you, like, create so many friends, like, make so many connections. Like, you've probably had experiences as well, like, you lot, probably playing with someone who doesn't even speak your language, but you therefore became friends, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
probably
on the holidays, on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Like, probably played, like, definitely. Cage football, like, in the ends, or, like, probably on grass on the park, like with kids you probably don't even know. So yeah, football's definitely like universal.
Italy has a lot of negative connotations with being very defensive, very physical. Would you say all these stereotypes are true, or
as of now, probably it's still true. Like, I feel like they've leveled up since I left, to be fair, because when I was there it was like defensively, like, they were still like solid, but it was one of those where, like, that was the only focus, like, just defense. But now they leveled up in a way like where they're attacking midfielders and, like, their strikers and, like, even as defenders now can play out at a really high level. So, yeah, football has definitely, like, changed the way Italy played now than what it was then.
And from your time at Notts County, do you know any ballers or any of your friends that are still at academies or have made their debuts, whether that's non-league football or higher?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Well, two of them actually play for Notts County.
Okay.
Look at that. One of them is called Daniel Dife and another one is called Madu Sise.
And you see these young players, young upcoming players, like the ones you just named and other young players across the country. Would you say that because they've been at academies for such a long time and they're engrilled with this whole persona that, like, they're going to make it pro and they've got everyone around them gassing them up? Would you say that young players are arrogant? They've got that arrogance and pride in them?
Oh, yeah. I feel like even like now you need to have something about you. You know what I mean? There has to be something about you that attracts the coaches and the staff there to make you, like, play in that.
Would you say that was something that was missing from you on a personal note?
Back then, yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had to learn the hard way, where I had to get rejected, I had to suffer a lot, to be, like, arrogant on the pitch. Because I was so timid, like, obviously I was good, but in terms of character, I wasn't up to par.
And do you think that's something they look at, character?
Yeah, that's for sure, Carl.
Yeah.
You want strong characters where important games are played and, like, when the team is down, who's going to, like, raise the morale of the squad? And, like, you need those type of players. Well, in every club needs to at least have a couple, you know what I mean? Cause that's like it really helps, like, obviously with the squad and, like, obviously mentally, yeah, it just plays a big part.
What advice would you give to somebody who's coming over from Italy and 12, 13, 14 and they're training in football?
Be patient. Literally, be patient. Cause football here is not the same there. Here it's more physical, scrappy. You're going to play the game that you love, but you're going to hate it the next day because of how scrappy it can get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most and of the like the balls are in the air. You're going to have to challenge. You're going to have to be physical as well.
And but what stereotypes does English football have abroad? And how many of them are true?
I mean, a couple of them are true. I can't lie. Like, obviously, like, football is being played in the air 9 times out of 10 that, like, we get, like, in Italy.
Stoke City, Burnley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche football.
Yeah, literally. Like, especially, like, when Premier League was at its prime, like, football then was being seen as, like, basically, like, a kick and run, like, 2-foot tackles, muddy pitches, like, those are the type of things you'd associate with English football and, like, the brutal strength you need to even challenge or compete, you know, so, yeah.
What would you say, just going more, like, away from being on the pitch, like, what was it like, sort of, and what's it been like adjusting to just living in England in general? I mean, completely away from sport, what's it been like being over here?
Well, different, actually. Very different. Like, obviously, I've been fortunate enough that my parents took me away from, like bad neighbourhoods, if you know what I mean. So, obviously, I was in no gangs. Like, I was a good guy, you could say. I was a good guy at school, like, doing my thing, studying, obviously, to make my parents proud. And, yeah, to be fair, it was difficult at the start because obviously you're trying to make friends, but some of the friends I made weren't the best for me at the time, if you know what I mean, because obviously these lot would do like drugs. It's either drugs or they'll be smoking or they'll be trapping or they'll be, yeah, riding out on guys, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I was just fortunate that I wasn't involved in none of that.
Yeah, it's, I think it's an interesting one, isn't it, when you move to a different place and you're trying to adjust to like what goes on there, and
yeah,
like especially as an 11-year-old kid, that must have been very daunting, like completely away from football at that age. It must have been very daunting going into a primary school and like it's all just new and different, and you're there on your own. Obviously your parents can't hold your hand going into school. So what was that like, just as much as you can remember as a kid?
It was hard, but it would have been a lot harder if my mom wasn't there with me. Cause obviously when I went to England, my dad was still in Italy
working until
he got a house in Nottingham. So during like those years, I was there in London. It was tough because obviously my cousin was like, probably like 4 years older than me, and he was basically like involved with those type of people, and I was there with my brother as well. So, and like my older cousin, he's also, at that time he was involved in that as well. So it was kind of tough.
Yeah,
like obviously when they're around me, they'll try and not be involved as much, obviously, to raise me up the right way. Like they'll try and hide it, but I was like one of those, like, I'm curious, like, what are you doing? So I'll just sometimes just sneak peek what they're doing. Like, obviously, like, I knew it was bad, but like, I'm glad that it did have an influence in me as a person, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Laurie, massive respect for you for coming on today. I think, like, conversations like this are what our podcast is all about, like, trying to express, like, people's experiences off the pitch, but as well as on it as well. And have any of you got anything you'd like to say before we close the show?
No, just thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I want to say a big thank you. You said in your morning dilemmas that you've been working and you had to get a train to come to Sheffield, so we really appreciate your time.
We do indeed. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch us on all our social channels, and we want to thank you all very much for watching, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. Bye.